So I thought we'd start by, if you all could imagine for me that you were a senior and you live alone in a studio apartment on a fifth floor, and you don't have mobility and you can't go down the stairs on your own. If one night you were sleeping and you were woken up to a disaster siren and heard a message in a language that you couldn't understand, I would assume that you would most likely feel confused and maybe even scared. This would be a similar situation in San Francisco Chinatown, where about 70% of the seniors there have limited English proficiency. As well as Stanley mentioned, we know that seniors are more vulnerable in disaster, and that in Hurricane Katrina, 1 in 10 of the seniors, 1 in 10 people were seniors in the population, but 7 in 10 of the deaths were from seniors. So it's a really important issue, and so I'm going to turn it over to Georgia, and she's going to tell you more about our project.
So just click. So as students in the Master of Public Health program at San Francisco State University, we worked for a year with a community organization called NICOS Chinese Health Coalition. Our job was to develop a needs assessment focusing on the work of one of their subcommittees dedicated to disaster preparedness. The executive director of NICOS acted as our community adjunct faculty. NICOS is a coalition of approximately 30 nonprofit and private organizations that work on projects to advance the health, well-being, and self-sufficiency of the San Francisco Chinese community. The committee we worked with, the Chinatown Disaster Preparedness Committee, works to organize and prepare the community for disaster. It's made up of organizations that are part of NICOS, as well as the American Red Cross, the Frintz Institute, and SF-CARD, also known as Collaborating Agencies Responding to Disaster. During early key interviews, we spoke with people who work in disaster response at the city level who acknowledge Chinatown as the neighborhood best organized for disaster response in all of San Francisco. And they know that NICOS and the Chinatown Disaster Preparedness Committee are responsible for it. It's critical, of course, for cities and communities to have disaster response plans. And the San Francisco Bay Area, in particular, is prone to earthquakes, large-scale fires, and as a signature coastal city, it's a potential target for terrorism. Particular challenges for Chinatown if a disaster strikes include its large population of monolingual Chinese-speaking people, that it's the most densely populated neighborhood west of New York City, and includes undocumented immigrants living in crowded, modest apartments above storefronts. Many of the old buildings in Chinatown have not been retrofitted for earthquakes, and getting them up to code is a complicated process that involves finding temporary housing for hundreds of people. It's challenging to organize and train community organizations and the business community, landlords of the apartment buildings, and citizens on a regular basis. The Chinatown Disaster Preparedness Committee hoped our assessment would help determine their next steps. Early on, we attended their annual retreat, and they helped us choose our target population. They identified the most vulnerable population in Chinatown as senior citizens. The reasons for this include that seniors make up 22% of the population there, and more than half are monolingual Chinese-speaking with low socioeconomic status. As seniors, a high percentage are medication-dependent for chronic, life-threatening conditions, and many have reduced mobility. In the small apartments, they are often isolated. The purpose statement we developed is to assess the needs and capacity for disaster preparedness and response among San Francisco Chinatown organizations that would provide critical services to seniors during a disaster. In 2009, we did our literature review, and we found a growing body of studies about disaster preparedness from the last few years, but not many about the needs of seniors, and nothing specifically about San Francisco Chinatown and disaster preparedness. In the tradition of community-based participatory research, we attended the monthly meetings of the Chinatown Disaster Preparedness Committee for a year. It was in these meetings where they consulted with us and advised us not only on the choice of our target population, but they put us in touch with key advisors and eventually decided on our program plan with us. We had a major determinant for whom we interviewed. Because we don't speak Chinese, we decided to interview executive directors and line staff of organizations who work with seniors, rather than the seniors themselves. Most of the executive directors and line staff people we interviewed were Chinese or Chinese American and had family connections in Chinatown. The organizations ranged in size from large entities, including a hospital and major social service organizations, to relatively small churches. All in all, we conducted 12 in-depth interviews with executive directors and 3 focus groups with line staff that included volunteers, deacons, nurses, social workers, and administrative staff. Although many of the organizations included were involved with the Disaster Preparedness Committee, we made a point of interviewing people from organizations who weren't part of it to make sure we weren't only hearing from groups that had a strong familiarity with disaster planning. A few limitations from our methods were that because of most of our interview subjects were involved in the committee, their level of awareness and preparedness was potentially higher than that of random groups. Also, we are not part of the close-knit community in Chinatown, and our interviews may have been affected by this. Brooke will now talk about our findings and recommendations.
Thank you, Georgia.
Sure. So through our interviews and our focus groups with the 17 organizations, we developed 5 findings that I'm going to share with you all. So our first finding is that San Francisco Chinatown organizations that serve seniors recognize the importance of having a disaster plan, but many of them either didn't have a plan or didn't feel that their plan was really complete. So we had really a range of responses when we talked about this with organizations. From some being very prepared, with one executive director saying, and I quote, "We're prepared, extra food, water, trainings, drills. People have specific duties in case of a disaster. We have a phone tree including every individual staff member. I really feel confident at our workplace." The other end of the spectrum was an executive director that pretty much made up his plan on the spot. He said, "No, we don't have a disaster plan. We would just run. I would run like a bunny. That's my plan." So very wide range of answers for that. But over half of the people interviewed, including executive directors and frontline staff, said that they did have some sort of plan, but the sophistication of those plans and the level of detail really varied. And I think this gap was really illustrated when we asked the question during our interviews for them to actually put the disaster plan in our hands so we could physically see it. And then a lot of them were like, "Well, I don't know where it is," or they eventually admitted, "Okay, well, I guess we don't really have one." So that was really interesting. As well, it was interesting that executive directors really felt confident in the plans if they had them, but the frontline staff really felt different, and they felt that if they had plans, it really didn't translate into them feeling prepared to help their clients in a disaster. So this leads to our second finding, which is that even though most organizations have made preparations for their senior clients in the event of a disaster by storing supplies or having some sort of plan, they really didn't feel prepared. And in particular, they were really concerned about not being able to meet their medication needs. And also a unique issue in Chinatown is that they were really expressed concern over isolation that could be caused by language barriers. So there was one quote that really stuck in my mind that a couple of years ago, there was a mudslide in Chinatown and the non-English speaking people stayed indoors because they didn't understand the evacuation message. So our third finding is that organizations have been concentrating efforts in training staff and not providing any direct training or personal preparedness with their clients. One staff person told us, a quote, "We've been trying to empower our tenants to help themselves, but seniors forget, and everyday maintenance of a disaster preparedness attitude is really hard." And so I think that really speaks to the challenge of working with seniors and just disaster preparedness in general. I think it also brings up the point that it's not necessarily a problem that they're not giving these direct trainings to the seniors, as long as the staff feel really prepared to meet that gap or to provide whatever whatever things that they need. So our fourth finding is that organizations really felt that trainings and drills needed to be done on a consistent basis and that their plans needed to be kept current. So there was a consensus that they were really important to responding in a disaster. And so a lot of the organizations reported being involved in some sort of trainings or drills, but they felt that they weren't adequate, either because they were out of date or they just weren't happening often enough to really translate into preparedness. So our fifth finding is that most of the organizations in the community were engaged in some sort of neighborhood coordination. But the organizations really felt that they needed more leadership to develop this. And so I have one quote that really talks about this, that, and not that quote, but organizations, they said that organizations get together on a monthly basis in the community to work on disaster preparedness, and those people that get together don't do that because they needed to, but because they wanted to and they really wanted to make progress. But they were concerned about figuring out how to really do that in a methodical way and make their investments in time and energy effective. So our recommendations are what I'm going to move on to next. And our recommendations really aim to address the gap that we found between the need for the CBOs to provide support to seniors and the lack of sufficient resources and organization for that to happen. So our first recommendation is to aid organizations in developing and completing disaster plans. So I need to speed up here. So we talked to one organization that was really very organized at their location. They had a plan that detailed specific menus for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the first 72 hours in a disaster. So they offered that they could share those that information with other organizations, for example. Our second recommendation was that policy should be created to have a voucher system to reimburse businesses. So a lot of the organizations we talked with described how many resources were available just from the produce markets and other things that are available in Chinatown. And they said those are really the hubs of the community and they're not really involved right now in any of the disaster planning, and they're such a great resource that should be tapped into. So our third recommendation was to develop more formal agreements among the organizations so they really understood what their role could be in neighborhood coordination. And our fourth recommendation is that all of the disaster planning really needs to incorporate seniors' unique needs and their vulnerabilities, which we've talked about, all of us, often, so I'm not going to repeat that. So, conclusion, I think there's been a lot of work done in Chinatown, and there's a lot of resources there, and there's a lot of strength in the community because they're there's such a tight-knit community and there's so much trust, but I think it just shows that disaster preparedness is really difficult. They've been working for over 20 years together and they still have a lot to accomplish. And moving from individual preparedness to more of a culture of disaster preparedness is not something that's going to happen overnight or that has an endpoint. So I think that's really a take-home message that we got from this. And then I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for any questions?
Will you be moving forward in implementing any of the recommendations or working with anyone at a level that can provide some of that?
We did develop a program plan with the Chinatown Disaster Preparedness Committee, working on a registry for Chinatown seniors that would be tended by the organizations that work with each individual seniors to keep it updated, because I know you mentioned the challenges with registries. But it's not taking hold yet, and we are moving on in our research, unfortunately.
So, but in terms of actually assisting them in continuity or disaster planning itself, the reason I'm asking is I work with mental health agencies. I developed a cohort program, so we bring together maybe five or six mental health agencies at one time, and through six sessions working through continuity and disaster plans with them. And that's at more of like an agency level. But I'm just wondering if you found something like that, if that could be implemented with these cultural CBOs as well, in terms of providing that support, or if anyone in San Francisco is actually working with these CBOs to help them develop plans.
So the group that we worked with, NICO's Chinese Health Coalition, as we said, they've been working for 20 years with a group of about 30 different organizations that are all based right in Chinatown, and about, I think maybe 12 or so of the people that were part of our assessment are still involved in that group that meets monthly, and they work on different aspects of supporting each other and finalizing their disaster plans. And just last month, they actually had a neighborhood-wide drill in Chinatown, and they spent a lot of time working on their communications plans, testing radios within their organizations, within their command center for Chinatown, and also within other organizations and the hospitals and stuff. So I think they do have a support network, but it's just a lot of the people who are working on it don't necessarily have, they're not being paid as part of their job to work on this. They just know that it's really important, and so they're already stretched with money and time, but they're, so they're trying to make progress and do those things. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, we'll take one more question, and I think, yeah, and we may have time at the end.